Hello and welcome to episode 34 of the Washbag Swindon FC podcast. I'm Ron Smith. Town came away from a game to be described as a non-contest perhaps, with a very comfortable two-goal victory and now comfortably in top half of League One. Meanwhile, Oxford United are in the middle of their worst Football League run in their very brief Football League history of 8 defeats in succession. We're not going to gloat at them, of course. And to discuss this and more, welcome to Town fans this week. Ian Watkins, welcome back to the podcast again.
Hello, Ron.
Hi, and also Adam Tanner.
Hello, Ron.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Good, right. Well, Adam, you were at the Crawley game last weekend. Yeah. It makes sense just to start with that Lewis Thompson red card. That's the problem with kind of League One. You don't have the benefit of many camera angles, but even from what I saw on the highlights, it's very debatable.
Yeah, it certainly was. And I think Cooper does have a point where he's saying that if a referee is going to give a decision, any decision, but particularly a decision of that magnitude from 40 or 50 yards away, he's probably got to be fairly sure about it. And he gave it very quickly. He didn't consult the linesman, who was obviously a lot more up to speed with play. And yeah, frankly, got it wrong, which is unfortunate. We've been playing pretty well up to that point. We certainly had the better of the first half. Their keeper did largely keep them in, although there were the times which we could also have done better. And that probably cost us the game. That's the logical way of looking at it.
Okay. Now, Ian helpfully pointed out to me just now that it was in the programme yesterday that Lee Power said that Town had appealed it. Surprising that it wasn't more clearer throughout the week that they've made a kind of forward bullish decision.
It seems to be a bit the way the club is at the moment. There's quite often things going on that you'd think fans like to know about that aren't being made aware. I think they probably went into the appeal thinking, I don't think anything will happen, because it seems to be that lower down the leagues, unless it's blatant that it was wrong, nothing changes. Obviously, like you say, the Premier League with more camera angles, there's more scope for something to happen, but I can't think of any time ever that we've appealed a sending off and it's been overturned. But I might be wrong, but
I haven't really looked into the process, but are the club essentially relying upon the availability of camera angles or other evidence, or what can they use? Because there was a photograph that one of the Crawley sports, I don't know, photographers took, which I posted a link to, which was very, very clearly showed in terms of time and tackle. But even that kind of one single frame isn't enough, because you didn't show that the training leg of Thompson didn't take him down or whatever. You kind of need to kind of like every sort of
second. Well, I assume at the end of the day, it falls on the referee to own up that he made a mistake. And I would just guess most referees don't want to do that. They want to say, well, I feel that what I saw was a foul, and they're not. It seems to have got to this stage now that very few referees will hold their hand up and say, I made a mistake.
Well, hopefully the appeal succeeds, but Lee Power doesn't think it does. But in terms of the, he's already served the ban, hasn't he? Because it's only a one game for that anyway. So, fortunately we didn't lose midweek at Gillingham anyway. But, would Thompson have made any difference, do you think, to it? I mean, we didn't go, did we?
No.
It was difficult to kind of, let's speculate away.
I remember last season, I can't remember the exact nature of the stat now, but we certainly did a lot better away from home with Lewis Thompson in the team than without him in the team. And I think he's particularly well suited to playing away. He's very disciplined. He's very good at winning the ball back. And for whatever reason, that the stats certainly reflected that last season. So we'll never know. But I think either way, with the size of our squad at the moment, a couple of players being out, even for one or two games, can almost constitute a crisis. And
I think Cooper said yesterday that we only had 14 fit first-teamers.
Yeah. We were lucky, I suppose, that Thompson and Luongo were not both unavailable for the same game. Had they been, then, well, the centre midfield could have looked interesting. We'll never know who would have gone in there. But we didn't lose the game midweek, but it's probably fair to say that we'd been a stronger team with Lee Thompson in it.
Okay. We're going on to yesterday's game against Crewe. So Swindon moved up to 6th with 2-0 victory. Crewe have now lost all of their four games in the league this season. written various words here. Comfortable training exercise. All that you can do is beat the team. I mean, the game itself was a bit of a not a contest, but in the end, Town come out of it with the victory. I mean, Ian, do you want to kind of sum up the game? And
I mean, I've seen the Scunthorpe game and the Luton game. We didn't really seem to get anywhere near the heights in those games, from what it sounds like, at Crawley and Gillingham as well. But then you would assume that back of the players' minds, it kind of thought, well, we don't really need to. And whether they're kind of holding something back for Tuesday as well, we didn't create loads of chances. We got in quite a lot down the right in the second half. But as Adam was saying before we started, you got 1-0 with, 15, 20 minutes left, and you weren't feeling like, hang on, we might throw this away.
Mm.
You still felt, well, pretty comfortable, we can get a second goal, then it will...
Well, it was purely because Crewe never had a shot up until about the 80th minute, no, did they?
They didn't offer a lot at all. I heard a comment about parking the bus. It didn't really seem like that. They just didn't seem to have the quality in their team to break us down or even cause any problems whatsoever.
Well, they just know. I think Cooper said after the match, Adam, that Town play obviously quite high up the pitch. The Crewe kind of steps off with one up front, a lot of players behind the ball to kind of narrow the space up. Obviously, it restricted the sort of chances, but it didn't get them anything from the game.
No, I don't feel they did that particularly well, to be honest. I think they gave Kassim too much time on the ball. He was rightly man of the match. I felt he really bossed the midfield and had a big bearing on the game. And I felt that they were content to lose by one or two goals. I don't think once we got in front, they didn't really do anything to change their shape. And they got stuffed 5-2 at home to Rochdale in the week, and that they seemed to be really low on confidence at a very early stage in the season. And on that basis, I'd have been pretty worried if I were a Crewe fan on the back of that. They offered nothing. But as we've said, we tick the box, 7 out of 10. If we can win a game at walking pace at this stage of the season, that's excellent. That's a compliment to the team. So,
yeah. Fair enough. I mean, it's good to see Kazim had... his two free kicks. The first one went in, fantastic sort of shot right up in the top left-hand corner of the goal. I mean, second half, keeper made a fantastic save.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so good. I mean, you know, past couple of years, we've had Richie, Pritchard last season, players you can rely upon to kind of be dead ball specialists. I mean, Kazim's really proven his worth. But, if you can get kind of 5-6 goals a year from that sort of position, when, say, Crewe, as a team, are restricting the space, you need to rely upon your set pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that sort of, Town's contribution at set pieces all round? I mean, you know, corners, we don't necessarily...
No, I mean, that's the thing I'd say, is that I'm all for Yasser practicing the free kicks, but I'd like to see a bit more practice on the corners, because we're not the shortest team. We have got a fair bit of height in there. You've got Branco, Turnbull, Smith, Williams...
Gladwin,
yeah. And we just seem too reliant on the short corners, that once every blue moon something might come of it, but too often it sort of fades out into nothing. And it'd be nice to see more balls straight in the box. So I'm not going to score every time, but...
Is it just about the excitement of the ball just getting whipped in? You think Gordon Greer's going to come up against Norwich, 88th minute, header it in, equaliser.
I think
or is it a victory? I can't remember.
There's a draw.
Draw, yeah. There we go.
I think short corners are fine if they're instinctive, and if something, you know, opens up and you go for
it. Quick, yeah. Kind of like very... Town, as far as I see on that bit, Town very rarely have the impetus to even take a quick throw in.
Well, that's right. And teams know that we're going to take our corners short, so they're very easy to defend against.
Yeah.
Crawley, for example, we did play well. We had 16 corners. What's that about? It's a corner every 5 or 6 minutes. And in view of that, we didn't create anywhere near enough threat from them. It's almost as if, as Ian said, we've got a lot of big guys in the team, 5 or 6 6-footers, despite being a team that basically plays on the deck. And it's almost as if we maybe feel we're above scoring, you know, a Gordon Greer header from a corner. I don't know, but yeah, we do need to do better.
That the last goal of that type to have been scored, that Gordon Greer one, in terms of that bullet header? Well, that's the kind of what you're always kind of want to see.
One of my
favorite, very rarely happens.
One of my favourite stats is it's now 60 games since a centre-back has scored for us, and that's an incredible stat.
Really?
The last one to score is Aidan Flint at Brentford.
Oh, in the playoff semi-final?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's really...
Stat. It's well prepared.
Well, that reflects very poorly on our set pieces in general, because centre-backs go, especially now we've got three of them in the team, they go forward and Branko should score a few goals a season. I know he hasn't played that many games for us yet, but we should do a lot better than we
did. So we're not attributing the goal on the Tuesday night at Gillingham to Branko after?
Wasn't going in, was it? So, no.
It was a good fumble anyway. It's kind of a goalkeeper special, that one. Williams got Town seconds yesterday. I mean, just watching the highlights again earlier, it was just such a surprise how much space that he was actually given by the crew covering the defender there. Just didn't want to actually make a tackle and was just kind of just hoping that he would pass it so he didn't actually have to make a decision. And in the end, it was just such a great finish for a player who was obviously out injured quite a lot last season and needs to get sort of run of goal going back again. I mean, he's made contributions. But even under Di Canio, he'd gone on a little run. I seem to remember, actually, he's kind of scored a lot of sort of two goals in a game.
Yeah,
but then kind of went sort of three or four without scoring.
There's probably more than three or four.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, bearing in mind that the first few games he wasn't a starter either, I've been fairly happy with his contribution so far. I mean, the goal at Gillingham, talking about this yesterday, it was very similar to what he scored at Portsmouth a few years back, where he sort of was running down the left side, little touch from his left, got onto his right foot, and then knocked into the back of the net. And then yesterday's, it's quite clear actually when you watch the warm up at the start, he's practicing an awful lot getting the ball onto his left foot and shooting, where I think he's naturally right footed. And yesterday he just waited for the right moment and then just side footed in the bottom corner. It was a good finish. He I think we said in the previous podcast that if he got a goal, that'll build his confidence, and he does seem to be getting back towards the player we did sign to see when he first joined us.
I mean,
fingers crossed.
I mean, you know, throughout pre-season, the worry amongst Town fans, well, apart from really the defenders not being there, was just about goals really up front. And, you know, we've come away from all the games, obviously, apart from Crawley, you know, scoring two in every game.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So, yeah, at least two, apart from the Crawley one. And the strikers contributing in each of those games, Adam. I mean, it's good to see, and it kind of seems settling our nerves at this early stage of the season.
Absolutely, yeah. I think I've been critical of Williams on a number of occasions, but he played pretty well yesterday. He scored two really nice goals, and although, as you say, Crew could have dealt with his goal a lot better yesterday. Credit to him, he knew exactly what he was doing. He picked that spot well. The goal thing was really nice too, and Michael Smith, I think it's clear to see that he's improved. His weakness at the end of the season, although he was probably put under a bit much pressure for a guy of his status, his control with his back to goal wasn't good enough, and it's improved a lot. In fact, the first half yesterday, he put both Kasim and Louis Thompson through on goal with some really nice touches, and I don't think he'd been in a position to do that last season. So he's improved, and he's both a goal threat and a sort of decent target man, if you like, as well. So there's things are a lot more promising up there than I thought they'd be. And as you say, the strikers between have scored six goals, which is the bulk of what we've managed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I mean, one of the bits that Cooper mentioned after the game was about the kind of performance, how comfortable Town were. He was happy about Town being patient. He was also complimentary of the crowd for being patient and not getting on the backs of the team. Albeit, I was hearing some murmurings, particularly the first half, that the occasional forward was kind of going at sometimes. I mean, it was a bit of sort of a quiet game, but you know, Town sometimes have come away from games against the lowlier teams in the division. I was thinking kind of like the throughout last winter, perhaps, when we had visits by, was it Oldham and others, when we didn't get the win. I mean, it's so important yesterday to pick up the win at this stage of the season. And against a team who probably are going to finish bottom. We know, Swindon now know that we're not going to finish bottom this year because Crew are rubbish.
I think you're right. I think we did need to win yesterday's game because although we played well in the previous two away games, I think our season is going to depend quite a lot on our home form. And although if you look at the league table, we have played four teams that are currently in the bottom half, you've got to say that I think we're all a lot more optimistic than we were 3 weeks ago.
But to what level then has the optimism raised then?
Well, I'm not saying we're winning the league, but
what second are we only going to miss out on the final day by on goal
score? I think I said I went for 16th last time out, and I think again I fancy us to go top half from what I've seen so far, but it all depends on, again, like I said before, injuries, suspensions, that sort of thing. I mean, as Adam said, we were lucky to lose Thompson and Luongo in different games, not the same game. And you think, if Smith or Williams get injured, who's going to come in up front? Defence still looks short. I mean, it's going to be an interesting week to see whether Stevens does actually come in and whether we get any other strikers in. Or
When is transfer deadline?
I think in Monday the 1st, I think, because right, obviously okay. The 31st next Sunday, so got 8 days left.
Yeah, okay, so still plenty of time, fingers crossed.
Mm.
But still, you know, that's one thing actually I haven't put on here to talk about transfer deadline, but of course, you know, players, there's been talk throughout the summer, Adam, about sort of players leaving, or potential that other clubs are interested in or have been scouting. Nathan Thompson, Luongo, Kasing, etc.
I think we're in an unusual position, really, in the sense that, we have a very small, very threadbare, very low-budget squad, but we have a number of assets in there. And I'm not saying this is right or wrong. Under normal circumstances, a club in our position would have sold one or two of the assets to raise some money to build a squad with. I'm not saying it's wrong that we haven't done that. However, we can't cope for much longer, as I think we all agreed, with 14, 15 players. And we shouldn't allow our positive start to the season to mask that, because once that window's shut, we could be in a position whereby if the wrong two or three players get injured at the wrong time, especially as you're only allowed to name five loans in a squad, etc., and all that, we could really be struggling. We have a lot of midweek games as well, right into, especially if we keep going in the cups. We've got a lot of midweek games right into the winter. And as I said, we can't allow our positive start to mask how badly we need players, especially if Leyland goes back in the week as well.
Mm.
We really need at least three or four more.
Okay. We'll just have a quick look at the other results yesterday. Fleetwood losing their kind of 100% record by drawing. I mean, Ian, you surprised me. They've been bankrolled by the tune of 15 million that the chairman was saying on the Football League show. They're, what is it, six promotions in 10 years. Are they going to be a team to actually get promoted to the Championship? Or are they?
No, I think they'll be top 10, but I think they're just the team that's come up with confidence having won the playoffs, and I think they've made a decent start, but I'd be very surprised if they're in the top two come the end of the season.
I mean, you know, have any of the early sort of first four rounds of results altered your sort of expectations on the rest of the league in terms of promotion or potential league winners or relegation favourites?
Not really, to be honest. I think the teams who you'd probably expect to be fairly high up, which not Rockets, on sort of Peterborough, Preston, Bristol City, Sheffield United, they're all off the mark, and a couple of them have played each other already. But I think the league should probably be a bit weaker than it was last season, which gives the rest of us a realistic opportunity. But
we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, I think, when you were on. On the preview one, it's not necessarily weaker, it's just more equal. So it's harder.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Perhaps, or is the other way to look at it.
Yeah, I suppose so. I don't think, at the bottom end of the table, I don't think there would necessarily have been a set group of teams who you'd have thought would not stand a chance. We've now seen Crewe, and we're expecting them to be pretty low down there. But I don't think there's been anything that's really jumped out at me so far.
Okay.
The only thing that strikes me is it Orient haven't won yet? I think they said I noticed on the Football League show yesterday. Is that right?
Gosh. Okay. Well, they've got 5 points, so they must have won one.
Then.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Then. Okay.
But they
take that back.
Yeah, take that back. Right. So, what we've got now is a quick look at Oxford League Two. Why not? Why not? Why not? Because going back a year ago, we were just laughing at Bristol City for the first couple of months. It's an unusual sort of, but welcome, turn of form for them, really, to be bottom of the division.
I don't think they're playing, from what I've heard, they're not playing particularly badly. Just things like, seeing the highlights from yesterday, they had enough chances to have scored against, whoever it was, Portsmouth.
Portsmouth, 80th minute goal for for Pompey.
So yeah, I mean, it's obviously nice for us to have a giggle at them for a couple of weeks, but I don't think they'll be there much longer, unfortunately. No, sure.
Okay. They scored one goal, I think.
Yeah, one goal this season. Yeah. But they similar to us in the sense that they've had the majority of possession in each of their four league games, but yet they've come out on the losing side. You know, they've only conceded five, I believe. So it's kind of, yeah, oh well.
12 shame. Points behind Morecambe. There you go.
Yeah, there we go. Good. Right. Yesterday, was, one thing kind of leaped out at me was the attendance, 6,530, was our lowest since September 2009 versus Colchester in a 1-1 draw, where 6,621 attended the ground. Is that anything to do with the fallout from change of ownership over the last year or so, or people, or it's been summer holidays, or what is it? I mean, it's quite low. I mean, we've been accustomed to kind of regularly getting sort of 7,500, 8,000 sort of into the county ground, and I know from the club's perspective over a number of years, they've always talked about sort of an 8,000 number being a very healthy, you know, break even, you know, level really. Albeit they want more. Is there anything, Adam?
I think that the last 30 years or so, we've had such a sort of volatile history. We're always going up or down. We always tend to be at one extreme or the other. And now the club is unusually stable. I think the general consensus, which I'd go along with, is probably that we're not likely to go anywhere this season, up or down. And I think some Swindon fans struggle to cope with that. It's not something that we're used to. Mm. We're not used to being a mid-table side. You get other extremes. This is Oldham, for example, is their 18th year in a row in this division. And we've probably gone up and down about 10 times in that period. Yeah. And I just don't think that somehow being, although it's obviously healthy in a lot of ways, being stable and being a bit sort of under the radar just seems to turn a lot of our fans off. That's the closest I could come to explaining it.
Town haven't published any season ticket figures this year.
No.
I mean, normally, you know, previous years they had done because they were hitting targets or they were increasing, so it's something to shout about. I mean, we're all sitting there. Well, you're a season ticket holder.
Yep.
It's free sat around this table anyway. Mm-hmm. Is it because season ticket sales have...
I would assume fallen? They're lower than the last several seasons, but it is worrying. I mean, bear in mind, it is, quote, only crew, unquote, but... And it's bank holiday weekend, whether that's had an impact, but that's, what was it, 7,000, just over 7,000 last time out, 6,500 this time. I think some people will have been put off by the nonsense in the summer. Mm. Some people will have been put off by the fact that it's been announced that we're cutting the wage bill and there won't be big signings and whatnot. Some people are probably just not prepared to pay 25 quid to go and watch League One football. They've probably got to the point where they just think, no, I can't be bothered. Or 27 that we'll be paying for some of the games when we get to the gold games.
Of course, yeah, which are coming up quite soon when we've got Sheffield United and others come to the county.
I mean, I noticed there's a few people around me that have been sat there for several seasons that are no longer there.
Mm-hmm.
Again, whether they're away on holiday or what, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But
it's weird because historically the club of, like, say, Arsenal or Man United have actually counted the season tickets sold as part of the overall attendance, even though the attendance hasn't actually been that low. So, if that's the case, then it is, you know, if they continue to do that, then, it is quite worrying that attendance is that low. And what I would say, I mean, if people are listening, you haven't been going to games, if it was, say, about the quality of the team or the reduction in budget, there isn't the difference, in my eyes, in terms of last year when we were playing on a high budget to what it is today. Right. You know, it very comparable, if not equal. They're going to be getting better as the season's going on. So if that's a reason why, perhaps you're thinking not to return to the county ground, certainly isn't in my eyes.
Well, the other thing we've got going for us is that our home record over the last few years has been very good.
Yeah.
And you can turn up thinking, well, we've got a good shot of winning this, whoever we're playing. So you kind of hope that people will, once we get a few more weeks into the season, a few more people will realise that the quality of football's good, results are going to be fairly favourable. Again, depending on how the next week goes, you might bring in a couple of players that get some interest going, and with any luck, you would have thought Coventry next Saturday will be 8 at least, because I mean they'll bring quite a few down.
Yeah, but you know, it should be a game where it should be 10 5 figure, shouldn't it really?
Should, yeah.
Which is disappointing things, because that, and we've got Sheffield United, Bristol City game in a month or so. So you know, it's those big games that you know the club obviously make a bit of money really. We've got also this week we've got the news about the international call-ups, Brad Smith and Luongo being called up to the Australian team for games against Belgium and Saudi Arabia. Football League rules say that minimum 3 players must be called up until the club can request a postponement. I mean, it does put us in a bit of a difficult position, Adam, because of what you were saying earlier about the impact, you were both saying about the impact of injuries. Mm. They've talked about Yasser Kassim potentially being called up. Do we know yet? It's not long until these Australian games have been done, but when he's going to be called up. And of course, they've got the Asia Cup in January.
Yeah, that's right.
As well.
Nothing's been said about Kassim. I'd imagine that it would have to come out over the next few days of the games, I think 11, 12 days time or something. But yeah, as you say, if we do end up having to play without 2 first teamers and someone else, you know, one more's injured, one more suspended, with the numbers we've got at the moment, that would be a very big deal. But hopefully, with that being in September, the squad will be a little bit healthier by then, once the deadline's passed. But I wouldn't fancy going into it a couple of players down at the moment.
And that game that would be postponed would be the Chesterfield game away. So I was just just checking there that it wasn't a home game, because what the last thing the club wants is to postpone a home game on a Saturday and move that to midweek when attendances typically go down. Mm. Albeit you don't want a trip up to Chesterfield on a Tuesday night, and you know they're obviously riding quite well. This season in terms of international call-ups, it's weird for a club in our division with 14 pros that are fit to face that problem. The rules say you have to have 3 players called up. I mean, you know, do you think that there's scope that the Football League should look at it in terms of clubs in the Championship, you have to have 3 players called up. Clubs in League 1, you've got to have 2 players called up. If you're in League 2, you can have 1 player called up.
No, I don't know about that, I would say. Like you say, it's a very rare occurrence that you get teams at this level getting players called up. So I'm assuming there's probably other teams in our league. I don't know whether Preston have had Bailey Wright called up or not, and that may well impact their team. But I would assume there's probably other teams that are being impacted as well. I assume Yasser will certainly be in with a shot of being called up. I'm not entirely sure who they're playing, but I don't think he's playing any worse now than he was when he was called up before. So, again, let's just hope he does get called up and we can go to Chesterfield with as strong a team as possible.
Yeah, okay. Well, in a couple of years anyway, we're going to have all of the England squad called up from League 1 or League 2 level anyway. So they're going to have to change it soon. Touched on it earlier, Adam, about Josh Lellan's 1-month loan deal expires yesterday, I think it was, actually, after the Crewe game. I've only been to the Crewe games. To what extent has he featured so far, and does he deserve another, you know, extension on the loan deal?
I've not seen much of him myself, to be honest, but I think with the size of our squad, anyone who doesn't get onto the pitch, you would have to assume isn't rated particularly highly by the management at the moment. That's probably a fair way of looking at it. And we're really not in a position to lose players, but I would imagine the plan will be to let him go back and recruit someone else to replace him.
Yeah, I mean, it's only 18, isn't he? I mean, do we really need to get an 18-year-old? Well, apart from Jack Stevens, of course. But for, you know, from a club, you know, we've obviously got our own youth team players to rely upon. You know, should we be using the loan market more appropriately?
I don't think the difference between this season and last season, we were getting young players on loan, but they often had a bit of background. Off the top of my head, I know Pritchard had played at Peterborough, Longo played at Ipswich, etc. They were a bit older with a bit more Football League experience behind them. And the guys we've recruited this summer have tended to have very little, but then the same applies to Jordan Turnbull, and I think he's about the same age, same position, and to me he looks really really capable. So I think it's just one of those you take on a case-by-case basis, and that they obviously don't rate Leyland as highly, which is fair enough.
Yeah. Have you seen him much? I remember going back to one of the pre-season friendlies he featured in, one which I set down by you, which would have been
Leeds
game, yeah.
I mean, the Leeds and the Villa games, he looked fairly decent. He got bullied quite a bit in the Scunthorpe game. Dion Burton seemed to have his number for the period that he was on the pitch. Then obviously he was cup tight. Well, Derby wouldn't let him play in the League Cup, so Branco came in, and then Branco stayed in. So it, from what I heard of Cooper's interview, or some interview yesterday, it did sound like they're looking at potentially keeping him for the season, which I don't know how much of his wages Derby would want us to pay. I don't know, but
probably all of it,
perhaps. But then you would have thought he's probably not earning that much anyway. Whether it relies on whether something else happens over the next week or so, I don't know.
Well, of course, you know, we'd all rather have Stevens than him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, sorry, Josh.
Yeah.
It's just a fact, you know. But, you know, with Stevens, did Southampton play yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Was he on the bench?
No, not yesterday.
Right, good.
But the thing is with Stevens as well, he's we saw when Southampton came down to the County Ground, he can play in holding midfield position as well. So whether that might crop up over the course of the season again when the midfield's a bit light,
it's possible. Asian Cup.
Yeah. So and then you might think, well, then we might need Leland stepping in the back. So who knows?
I think we all agree that we'd like Stevens back, but it seems to have been going on for so long now, we might just have to accept it's not going to happen and move on. We'll soon have to...
No, we're going to fight for him.
Fair enough.
We want him back.
It's been it seems like every day for about the last 6 weeks it's been tomorrow.
Yeah,
and
he's got an obsession with him.
Yeah, and I think I've become a bit sceptical about that now, but who knows.
He'll probably come back and then get injured and be out for the season, and it'll be
We can still join on loan after the transfer window's...
Yeah, but it won't be a season-long loan, then, will it?
You have to wait a week and you've got a 3-month loan.
Yeah.
No, I think he still can do because of his age.
Oh, really? What, a youth loan?
You think he'd do a youth loan.
Okay.
Possibly.
Potentially.
In fairness, though, Nathan Thompson's done a really good job in the back three, I think. He's probably started off there, I'd imagine, by accident because we were short. And I think he's playing that sweeper role really well.
Yeah. And it's just so weird, just not seeing him just doing these marauding runs up the right-hand side and overlapping. Mm. But, you know, he hadn't necessarily improved in that role, and I think by him maturing as a player and playing in a deeper role, then it can only actually improve, particularly when we haven't got the options back there and we can play, you know, proper wing backs.
But he does seem, I mean, Thompson does seem to have a big influence on the way that we distribute the ball from the back, because Wes is often looking for Thompson and playing little 1-2s between them, so be interesting to see what, I mean, I think we talked about this previously as well, whether Thompson will stay in that sort of centre of the back three role, because he's certainly not looked out of place. There's worries that you say he's not tall enough, but that the fact he's got Branco and Turnbull either side seems to have made up for that.
Yeah.
With our system, you need one member of that back three to really comfortable on the ball. I think, to be fair to Branco, he's a lot more comfortable on the ball than he was at the back end of last season, but still not really his game. I wouldn't want him, you know, as the first point of call from Wes. And you'd probably say the same for Turnbull. So I think when you've got that back three with our system, you almost need someone. I think Kassim could play it when you need him to. You need someone to just sit a bit deeper.
Well, he did early pre-season, Kassim. He was playing as, you know, kind of sweeper role, just for a little bit. Just an option. Cooper's just trying it out with various players. But, you know, so good. I mean, going back sort of, you know, 6, 7, 8 years, you know, players... Like, you know, well, we had obviously Aidan Flint, but others who couldn't kick a ball back there. So he's so good having, you know, distribution options. The other player whose kind of future is to be confirmed is the Australian striker Joel Chines. I think that's his name. Obviously, former Sydney FC. He's been training with the club for a couple of weeks now. We've obviously not seen him, but I mean, Cooper said that he's a striker more of a number 10 than a number 9. He likes to link the play up and score goals, and he's done okay. I mean, players like to score goals, I suppose. Not a very helpful description of his qualities, really, Cooper. But, you know, Ian, do you really think that he can... Do we need to bring someone in with his sort of experience? You know, he's probably... You know, or do we just need to get some young kid from a Premier League club in on loan to
I think the fact he's still there, he's still at the club,
yeah,
says something. I mean, if he'd come in and was didn't offer anything, then he would have said bye fairly quickly.
Yeah, but Calvin Kalinga was there for a fortnight, if I remember right.
But even then, he had something about him as well. So I think with Chianese or
Joel,
that Australian bloke, am I right in thinking he was recommended to the club by...
his agent?
Well, no, it was the same bloke that brought Luongo to the country, I think I've heard somewhere. So,
some human trafficker?
Perhaps. But yeah, I mean, somebody got in touch with somebody who's Australian based said he, when he first broke into the team, looked quite decent, but then struggled last year.
David Squires did an article for us.
Yeah, that's right. So, like I say, the fact he's still around the club, I think, means that it's possible they're looking to do something. But again, it might be they hold off until they see what happens in the next week.
Okay, good. Right, okay. Well, quick look at the week ahead. We've got Brighton visiting County Ground on Tuesday for a League Cup second round tie. Of course, we met and beat Brighton 2 years ago, was it? 3-0. Goals from Benson and Navarro. I forgot that he got two there against his former club, and we all thought, wow, Navarro, he's going to be a great player, great servant to the club. But anyway, teams met three times in the League Cup, Swindon winning twice, and we drew the other one, which was the fourth or fifth round back in 94 when we got to the semi-finals. So both games at the County Ground, Town of one by 3-0 and the other one 4-1, which was that game with Keith Scott and Jan-Ivar Fjortoft getting a brace each. It's an interesting game, Adam, because obviously we've got the linkages between what's his name, Luke Williams. They got married. We got Kazim Barker, etc. Blah blah blah. You know, face former clubs.
Gordon Greer. Be first time playing back here, wouldn't it? Because wasn't he suspended when he'd.
Maybe he'd get a bullet header goal for them, I don't know. I mean, Brighton had the best luck against us. What do you think about Tuesday night's sort of potential for progress in the cup?
For me, it's a good draw. I'll sort of go a bit against the grain with cup toss. I'm not all that keen on circus draws. For example, last season we had Chelsea at home and it was all right, but it just wasn't. It wasn't a contest. I don't mean that as a criticism of anyone.
We were Crewe, they were Swindon.
You could go along with that. Whereas the previous round, we played QPR, who we can compete with, and it was superb. And so for me, Brighton at home is a pretty good time. And, you know, with our home form, as Ian was saying, it's very winnable. They haven't started all that well. I think they've won 1-2, lost 2, I think.
Yeah, they beat Bolton 2-1 yesterday.
Yeah. And with the way the draw's seeded, it's just about, for its worth, about the easiest tie we could have had. Obviously, it's not easy, but I think it's a decent one.
Okay.
I think the fact Hoopy has not been there very long and hasn't really had a chance to put his mark on that team, I think it gives us a good chance. And they've obviously lost Ujoa and a few other players. And they were saying that again, on the Football League show, their fans are upset they've not really brought anybody in. I don't know. I think the thing that a lot of the players on Twitter were sort of happy about was the fact it's going to be two very good passing teams, and it's going to be interesting how we fare up against them, because we've not really had that this season.
So the game's just going to be played in the centre of the pitch and lots of passing.
It'd just be the two defences knocking it around between each other.
Yeah, that's true.
It's penalties. Is that
your prediction, penalties?
It could well be. It'd be interesting to see how it could. Logically, we should be. I think we should be all right at penalties, but we didn't make much of a go of the Peterborough one last season, which was a...
Oh yeah, what happened to John? Is he left? He's not on the... Was he on the team?
No. He's not got a squad number, he's not on the photo, but...
I completely forgot about
it. Clubs just don't communicate these things anymore, do they? But he did have a 2-year contract, didn't he?
So he did,
they must have been some settlement or something, but they've not said anything.
Poor chap.
That was his main contribution.
It was, yeah.
His rugby kick.
Ian, any prediction for Tuesday night?
I hope everyone has a really nice time. And I don't know. We could win it. Or, I mean, you look at sort of the Leeds and the Southampton games. We played well, but the teams we played against had a bit too much quality for us. And I don't know. I'll be optimistic and say we'll win 2-1. Put the knockers on it now.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm probably going to go for a win. We've got Coventry visiting us next Saturday, and it's good for them that they're obviously moving back to the Rico in a couple of weeks. It's been a bit of a farce, the Football League allowing them to move away in the first place, but at least their supporters get back. to watch games really at home. Well, that's all that we've got time for this week on the podcast. Thanks to Ian and Adam for joining me. We'll be returning maybe next week after the Coventry game. Haven't quite decided, but I'll let you know when we're going to be recording the next one. So speak to you soon then. Bye.